Ephesians chapter 3. As I have grown accustomed to, with the Lord's help, I want to preach on this theme verse and these thoughts from this powerful book of God's Word. Let me say thank you for being here for the 9th annual God's Man Conference. I have been anticipating this weekend and praying that God would do, as I said earlier, something radical in our midst. I do believe this with all of my heart. I believe that God desires to do something this weekend, something supernatural. I believe that. I believe tonight, and you need to believe, that God is cheering us on this evening. Like a parent that cheers for his son or daughter in a sporting event or something at school or some kind of competition, any kind of competition for that matter. Your heavenly Father is cheering you on tonight. God so desires for you and I to fully yield ourselves to Him, His power, His will, and His desire. God so desires for that to happen tonight. I caught myself praying today, Lord, do something great, as if God did not want to do something great. I coached one of my teams. I coached several teams this year in upward soccer. One of them was my son's team, Micah. And we had several kids on our team in our upward soccer that were a little bit bigger and a little bit faster than the rest of the league. And I was just thankful that they were on our team. And our team did very, very well. And my son is not the biggest one in stature, but he's got a lot of fight in him. And almost every game with the exception of one, he scored this in the season. But on this particular, this is the last game of the season, this particular game, everybody else on our team had scored, and my son had played great, but he had not scored. Every time he shot, it was a great shot, and it was like an inch off. It was that far. He hit the crossbar. They'd have a great save, whatever the case may be. And he kept trying, and he kept missing. And I'm coaching, and I'm on the sideline, and I'm coaching everyone else to tell them what to do, but I'm pulling for my son to score. I want my son to kick that soccer ball in that soccer goal. I want to be able to say, that's my boy. I taught him everything. When he didn't score, I was like, that's Christy's boy. I was pulling for him. Everything he does, when he brings a report card home, I'm pulling for him. When he tells me, hey, Dad, this is what I want to do, I'm pulling for him. And I have to believe this, that my God, so much more, is pulling for me tonight. He wants me to be victorious. He has called me to be a conqueror. He wants me to have victory. He doesn't want me to live in bondage. He wants me to experience grace at its fullest. God tonight, church, is pulling for you and for me. He wants us to get this promise tonight. He wants us to understand the power of this principle that we're going to talk about. Ladies, gentlemen, I almost said ladies and gentlemen. I hope that's not true. Gentlemen, God still can. In the book of Ephesians, let me give you a quick overview. God used this book in my life over these past few years to teach me so many things. You say, what has God taught you in the book of Ephesians? Well, in the first few chapters, God teaches us that we are purchased by God through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for that this evening? Amen. We've been forgiven and accepted, beloved. We have become sons of God. This book tells us that we have been forever His possession. We have been sealed with the Spirit. We have been protected by divine love. We have been sustained, the Bible teaches, by divine care. And we are energized by divine power. In these first few chapters, we see the Apostle Paul writing and telling us that we have become priests and we have become kings. We are taught and led and ruled and loved and made alive by the Holy Spirit. We are saved by grace through faith. And we are now brought nigh to the throne of God by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But not only do we have these things, but He tells us some more things in chapter 2. Some more things that we have and some more things that we are. He says, we have life in Christ. We have salvation. We are raised and seated with Christ. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Paul said, we have peace with God. We are partakers of the blessings of the people of God. We have unity and we have peace in the body of Christ. We have a purpose. Please hear me today. Do not think for a moment that you don't have a purpose. God has a perfect purpose for you. And the book of Ephesians teaches us that. And yet it teaches us much more. we find our way in chapter 3, and we come to a very interesting verse in verse 14 when it says, "For this cause I bow my knee," and without going into great, great detail, we just want to simply answer the question, for what cause? What was the Apostle Paul praying for? The Apostle Paul was simply praying for what he had stated just one verse earlier when he said, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation." We are fully aware that the Apostle Paul was probably under at least house arrest at this point. He was a prisoner because he preached the gospel. He was a prisoner of Rome. His zeal for Christ had got him in trouble. I wonder when the last time your zeal for God got you in trouble. His zeal for God had gotten him in trouble. And now he was writing back to this church in Ephesus to make sure that if they had heard of his tribulation, if they had heard of the hard time he was going through, if they had heard of his persecution and his imprisonment, that they did not lose heart just because Paul was going through a rough time. He said, "I pray, I bow my knees unto the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause I pray." Verse 15, "Of whom the whole family in earth and heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." I wish I had time tonight to really explain all of those verses. But here's two things the Apostle Paul said. These are things I'm praying for you. Number one, I'm praying that your faith become strong, and I'm praying that you acknowledge and begin to comprehend the great love that God has for you. I'm telling you, there's two things that will keep you from fainting tonight. Two things that will keep you from giving up, as it were. One is understanding that God wants to strengthen you with His power. And number two, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, knowing that God loves you. That's the gospel that we get to tell the world. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks they grew up on. God loves them. I'm glad that I serve a God, and I'm glad that I read a Bible, and I'm glad that I have a faith and trust that God does not love just a certain section of people, but God loves the world. He loves the world. And yet we come down to verse number 20, which is where I want to spend all of our time this evening. Or Paul said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen." Tonight, if I could encourage you in any area, I would encourage you in this area that you do not have to give up. You do not have to give in. You do not have to quit. You do not have to live in discouragement. You do not have to live in the realm of defeat. You do not have to think that that thing before you is impossible. You do not have to want to quit or want to throw in the towel, as it were. My friend, you can make it. And you say, "What gives you the authority, not knowing my circumstance, to tell me tonight that I can make it?" I'll tell you the authority that I come with. I know you can make it because my God can help you make it. Ladies and gentlemen, there I go again. Ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing that my God cannot do. You know the little kid song that my God is so great, so strong, and so mighty? There is nothing my God cannot do. Listen, we teach our kids that song, but I'm praying that today that we will hold fast in our heart that our God today, just like He could in the Bible, our God today still can. First of all, look in this passage, if you will. I've given just a very simple outline. Number one, look who can. Who can? Verse 20 says, now unto, everybody say it with me, him. Who is him? Well, I'm glad you asked. He is awesome. He's almighty. He's able. He's Abba. He's all powerful. He's our advocate. He is my all in all. He's the author and finisher. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the Amen. Who is he? Well, he's the branch. He's the bread of life. He's the bread of heaven. He's big. He's bright. He's compassionate. He's the cornerstone. He's our creator. He's our comforter. He's our Christ. He's the captain of our salvation. And he's close to me. He's the deliverer. He's the day spring. He's the door to heaven. He's excellent. He's everywhere. He's eternal. He is our Father. And I love this one. He is faithful. He's faithful. He's my friend. He's my forgiver. He's my fortress. Christ is the fullness of God. He's the fountain of living water. He's the firstborn of all creation. Who is he? Well, he's good. In fact, he's not just good, he's great. He's generous. He's gracious. He's glorious. He's holy. He's my help. He's heavenly. He is my hiding place and my high priest. He's my healer. He's the Holy Spirit. He told Moses, I am. He's Emmanuel. He's infinite. He's invincible. He's immortal. He's indwelling. He's just. He's judge. He's the justifier. He's jealous, and he's the source of my joy. He's my God. He's a king. He's kind. You say, who can? This God can. He's the keeper of Israel. He's love. He's life. He's light. He's the Lord. He's the Lamb. He's the living stone. He is the lily of the valley. He is merciful today. He's the maker of all things. He's the Most High. He's the Messiah. He's the bright and morning star. He's the mediator. And he's a man of sorrow. Listen to me. He's near. He's never far away. He's a never failing God. He's overwhelming. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's the only begotten Son. Listen, he's the Prince of Peace. He's our provider. He's perfect. He's the pearl of great price, the ultimate promise keeper. He is quick to hear our prayers. He's the one who quiets our soul. He's radiant. He's our redeemer. He's the righteous. He's a ruler. He restores my soul. He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's sovereign. He's my Savior. He sanctifies. He's the Son of God. He's a strong tower. He's not just the good shepherd. He's not just the shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's the shield. He's true. Gentlemen, he's trustworthy. He's a teacher. You say, who can? God can. He's unchanging. He's unequaled. He's ultimate. He's vast. He's victorious. He's divine. He's wise. He's the way. And by the way, I still believe that. He's the only way. He's the way. He's wonderful. He's the Word of God. He's the water of life. He's excellent. He's Yahweh. And he expects me to have zeal for him because he's God. He's God. You say, who can? He can. He can. Many of you are probably familiar with this, but I love listening to and reading what S.M. Lockridge said so many years ago. He said, who is my king? The Bible says he's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. I wish I had S.M. Lockridge's voice. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings and Lord of lords. And then he said, that's my king. Do you know him? By the way, do you know him? My king is sovereign. No means of measure can define him. His limitless love, his enduringly strong, he's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he is impartially merciful. Do you know him? He wrote, he's the great phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of the world. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of a true theology. He's the only one qualified to be my sufficient Savior. do you know Him? He supplies strength to the weak. He's available for the tempted and tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and He sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards and rewards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the door of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway to righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. And He is the gateway to glory. Church, do you know Him? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy, and I love this, His burden is light. S.M. Lockhart said, I love to describe Him to you, but He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get Him out of your mind. You can't get Him off your hand. You can't outlive Him, and you can't live without Him. The Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault with Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him, and the grave couldn't hold Him. Amen? Listen to me. That's our King. And you bring your circumstance to Him and you have the audacity to question, can God take care of this? Who can? God can. He can. I understand life. Life is not easy. Some of you are coming with burdens from your homes. Some of you are coming from burdens from your church. Some of you are coming by just personal burdens, things that you're battling and nobody on the planet knows. And you wonder if you'll ever get victory. You wonder if you'll always live in this bondage. You wonder if you'll always live in this realm of defeat. You wonder if you'll ever just rise up from this dungeon of depression. And you said, if I can, who will help me? Listen to me. God will help you. Who can? God can. Who can? God can. When can God help me? Who can help me? God can. When can God help me? Right now. Notice in verse 20, He said, now unto Him. Not tomorrow. Not when things get better. Not when things get easier. Not when you're not quite as overwhelmed. Not when your problem shrinks. And by the way, can I say this? The reason that David had so much confidence in the Valley of Elah was because when he stood before a giant that was almost 10 feet tall, Goliath was nowhere near as big as David's God. And David said, whether you're standing here or not, I believe that my God is bigger than you, and right now my God can deliver me. The Apostle Paul was in prison. He was not writing from some Hawaiian resort. Things were not great. He didn't have tons of money in the bank. He was not living the wonderful life, a dream life. That was not where Paul was. Paul was in prison. Paul had been beaten. Paul had been persecuted. Paul had been whipped. There had been threats on his life. There had been attempts on his life. Paul spent time running. Paul spent time hiding. And now Paul is in prison. And yet even in prison, as he's writing to this church, he said, I might be in the midst of tribulation, but I believe even God right now still can. Right now. Right now. Who can help me? God. When can God help me? Right now. Let me hurry. What can God help me with? Anything. Notice the Bible says, now unto Him, and don't miss this, that is, say it with me, able. My God right now is able. God is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above anything that you and I can ask or even think. What can God help you with? God can help you with anything. J.J. Ray said of this passage, he says, in this remarkable verse, we have a wonderful instance of St. Paul's cumulative way of speaking. He said, whenever I get fairly into one of St. Paul's epistles, I always feel as though he is a man in bonds. Language is too poor a medium for him. He cannot get out all that is in his heart. He cannot get out all of what he wants to say. And as eloquent as he was, I believe by the time he got done writing this verse, he felt as if his language was bankrupt in comparing his God to it. He tried to describe God. He tried to tell these believers, this is what God can do. What can God do? God can do anything. He can do anything. There's nothing that my God cannot do. The greatest thing that you and I can think tonight that God can do, God is so far past that. He is so far past your ability to ask God to do something. Think tonight of the greatest thing that you could ask God to do, and I'm telling you, God is so far past that. Tonight, the greatest thing that you can concoct in your mind, God is so far past that. He can do exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. It was almost as if Paul had climbed the ladder of this language, and by the time he got to the top rung, it still wasn't good enough, and he flung his pen away and said, "That's all I got." Because God can do so much more. I remember the centurion who came to Jesus. And you know the story in the Gospel of Matthew, one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. And he came begging. And he said, I have a servant who is grievously tormented, sick, to the point of death. And he never asked Christ to come. Christ said, well, I'll come. And the centurion said, no, I don't want you to come. I'm not worthy. Remember what he said? He said, I'm not worthy that you would come into my house. He said, but if you'll just, listen to me, if you'll just speak the word only. That's all he asked him to do. Now, by the way, most of us, we would be thrilled to have Christ come to our home. You want to come? Great. You want to heal him? That'd be fine, but come to the house. And he said, no, I'm not worthy. He said, but I believe you're God, and I believe you are so much God. I do believe with all of my heart that if you'll just say it from right here, it'll be done there. He said, I understand authority. He said, I'm a man under and of authority. He was a centurion, which meant that he had at least 100 soldiers under him. And he said, I'm a man of authority. And if I tell my servants to do something, they have to do it because I'm their authority. And he said, if I tell a soldier to go, he has to go because I'm his authority. And he said, I believe and I understand authority. And he said, I believe you're God. And if you just say to this sickness from where you are, even though the sickness isn't here, it's there. Because you have authority, if you'll just speak it, it has to do what you tell it to do because you're the authority. Would to God we would look at our circumstance and say, God, sick them. You know what we do? We try to fix it. What we do is we try to fix it, and then we get counsel, and then we go to the preacher because the preacher fixes everything. Listen to me. Preachers do not fix everything. God does. God does. What can he do? He can do anything. He can do anything. Gentlemen, you serve a big God tonight. To whom can he be likened to? The prophet said, nobody. Nobody is his equal. There is none like him. By the word of the Lord, the psalmist said, were the heavens made, and all of the host of them, out of the breath of his mouth, he gathered the waters and the seas together. Our God is so much bigger. You realize in the book of Genesis, Genesis tells us that God spoke everything into existence. It was not the works of his hands. It was not the works of his feet. It was simply the works of his words. He just said it and boom, it happened. And you're telling me that that God, who took so much specific design and yet so sovereign, cannot handle your problems? I dare say he can. Our God can. Caleb and Joshua brought back news that God could take the enemies. And he could. And he still can. Peter stepping out into the water. Christ, if it's you, bid me come. Come on. And Peter felt something because of that step of faith he had never felt before. He had felt water under his feet. Listen to me. You read the Bible. I wish I had time to go from story to story to story. Listen to me. We still serve that same God. He can. What can God do? He can do anything. How does God do that? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power. Now listen to me. This isn't some like little power. We're not talking about, you know, how strong you are. You know, we could have got a guy who's been coming to our church. In fact, he's here. Jeff's over there. And he's one of those guys that you'd hate to arm wrestle. I don't want to arm wrestle him. I'd hate to embarrass him. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, Jeff. I wouldn't. We got guys in our church, and they start getting faithful. They start serving God. And I make mental notes. Yep, I want him by my side. Something goes down, I'm finding them, you know. Because they'll protect the preacher. They're strong. They're tough. Listen to me, man's strength is in no comparison to God's strength. The Bible says that he does this according to the power. It's that word dunamis. It's a dynamite power. It's an explosive power. It's the greatest power the world has ever known. The Philistines, they tried hard. They spent years. They spent money. They spent energy. They spent lives trying to find the source of Samson's power. But you hear me, church, tonight. Samson's power was not in his hair. It was in his God. The only power the world knows is from God. How does he do this? He does it. Excuse me. He does it because of his power and through his power. His power. But notice also he says the power that worketh in us. This is not a power that's just floating into space. This is not a power that just is out there. This is a power that lives inside of you. If you're a believer tonight, say amen. The day you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God took residence in your heart. And you were injected with a heavenly power. And God is not going to come out of the blue and do something in your life. God is going to do something in your life through you because the power lives inside of you. It's through that power. Let me give you the last thing. Why? Not only who can help? God can. When can God help? Well, he can help now. What can God do? What can God help with? Anything. How can God? How does he do it? He does it with his own power. And it's a power that worketh in you. But why would God do it? And this is a part that maybe at times in studying and reading and preaching this passage I've missed. But notice the next verse. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You listen to me. Let me tell you why God not just can, but why God will. So, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know all that I've done. Well, I've got good news for you. God doesn't work in your life because you're good. God doesn't work in your life because you deserve it. Gentlemen, we deserve hell, and that's all we deserve. Let me tell you why God works in your life. Let me tell you why God wants to show up in your life. Let me tell you why God wants to restore your family. Let me tell you tonight why God wants to draw your wayward son. Let me tell you tonight why God wants to give you victory. Can I tell you tonight why God wants to give you power? This is why God wants to strengthen you. Because when God does that, he gets glory. God can and will, not because of you. Oh, I don't deserve it, and God would never help me. It has very little to do with you, and it has everything to do with God. He said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything, all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory. Every time God shows up in my life, it only ushers him more glory. It's like when the disciple brought the lad to Jesus and said, there's a little lad here and he's got a lunch, but what is this among so many? And Jesus saw an opportunity to show himself as mighty. And he said, have the men sit down. I'll show you. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what state you've come here. Truth is, wouldn't it be great that every one of us, 300 plus men would come here tonight and say, you know what, we all came in victory. And we just came to charge our batteries so that we could go back to the front lines. But I know that's not always the case. And I don't know where you are tonight. But this is what I do know. God truly desires to bring glory back to Himself. And He has chosen to bring glory to Himself by being very active in your life. He wants to be. God can. You ever seen a miracle? Oh, yeah, I've seen them. I've seen them on the pages of the Bible. No. Have you ever seen a miracle? This year, God showed our church a miracle. We were trapped at the house. It had been snowing. I don't know if your town's like this, but if New Bern even forecasts snow, everything shuts down. Well, it's snowing in Michigan. We better shut the schools down again. But we really got some snow this year. And I was glad to see it go. I was at home with the family, and I got a phone call. Some of our adults and some of our young people from our church were out doing something that we had done just weeks earlier here in the backyard of our property, pulling a trash can lid or a hood of a car or something, just pulling it behind the vehicle and sledding. We're not used to snow. It's hard to sled in a half inch, by the way. But we got one of those good snows and good sledding snow. And I got a phone call from one of our church members and said, something bad's happened. We need you to go get Daniel. Daniel's a man in our church. He was at work. We need you to go get Daniel. We need you to bring him. Where we are, Caleb, Daniel's son, has got hurt real bad. Of course, my next question, Caleb he was on my basketball team. So in our church, one of my daughter's best friends, don't you tell her I told you that, and one of my favorite people. I said, how bad is he got hurt? He said, preacher's real bad. So I hopped in my truck and I drove to Toyota. Had to drive real slow. It was real icy. Trying to call Daniel. By the time I got there, he had already gotten word and headed to where Caleb was. Caleb was flung off of the sled and hit a tree head on. Of course, you can imagine in the snow how long it took for the rescue squad and the authorities to get there. Finally, they got there, they tended to Caleb, and they got Caleb to Carolina East Medical Center. I met the family there. In fact, I beat the rescue squad there, and when they brought him in, I walked in the back. And I don't know, especially you pastors, have you ever been in a situation where you just felt helpless? That you were just begging God, give me something to say. Look, it was one of those situations. I saw my buddy there. It was one of those situations, Jay, I didn't even know what to pray. I remember begging God, don't take this boy. God, I pray in submission to your will, but don't take this boy. He's got too much potential for you. Don't take his life. I gathered mom and dad, and the grandparents were in the room with some of the other family, and I'd go back and forth, and we just pray. There was a lot of nurses and a lot of doctors working, and they worked diligently, and they arranged for him to be taken to Greenville. so the family went. They followed. Several friends helped them get there. And the following day, I went and stayed for several days with the family as we just played the waiting game. I knew how much I was struggling. I could not even imagine how much they were. All I could picture was Caleb and Kenzie are in the same grade. And how would I be if this was mine? We played the waiting game for days. Caleb had several brain surgeries. They had to keep removing portions of Caleb's skull, and without going into just too much detail, the bottom line is days turned into weeks as we just waited to see what would God do. It was close to about the two-week mark where I believe we really began to see a turn. There was hope after about 4 days, but in those first 3 or 4 days, they just didn't know. After about 2 weeks, Caleb started really turning around. He's a young man that has a great deal of strength and resolve in his spirit. I remember after several weeks going back there, and the first time, and his head all wrapped up, the first time where he could open his eye a little bit and he could look, and you almost felt like he could recognize you a little bit. That was a victory. And then every time I got to go back and visit, and every time I got to call Daniel and speak to LaManda and talk to their family and to hear the good reports and to see God working. And I'm telling you, there were 3 days where it was almost hopeless. And all we could do was commit it to God. Even the medical staff said, God's going to have to do something. Just a few short weeks ago, we're praying, his final surgery. He had a consultation with the doctor, and the doctor, this was February, and the doctors cleared Caleb to play basketball this fall. And every time I think about it and I look back, there's no doubt in my mind, as good as the doctors were, and as good as the nurses were, and as good as technology is, and as good as medicine is, and as skilled as they are, I know why Caleb Eason is it God's man tonight. It's because God can. He can. You hear me? If he can raise up a young boy and give him strength that he had before a major accident, I'm telling you this, my God can do anything you need him to do in your life if you will but ask him to. Would you ask him? Would you leave here this weekend believing that he can? Would you leave here not just believing that he can, but will you leave here this weekend trusting that he will? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything, all that we can ask or think. Unto him be glory in the church, both now and forever, the world without end. And all God's people said, amen. Father, Lord, may you show us tonight our desperate need of you. God, we thank you for miracles. And God, we thank you that that's not just something that we read about, but God, that is something that we can experience right now. And God, I'm praying in my own life that you would work mightily. Lord, whether I'm up or down, I want you to work in my life. And God, I want to live with that faith that you still can. God, tonight I pray that you'll build our faith. God, I pray that you will explode our vision of you. And I pray that you would exalt our praise, because you are so, so worthy. Gentlemen, tonight, this is the opening service. But if you're here today and you want God to work in your life, whether that's this weekend, or that's in your home, or that's in your spirit, or whatever it is, if you want God to bring that dynamite, explosive power to your life right now, would you join me around this altar and just simply ask Him to do that? As we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. God, it's for your glory. We're begging you to work in our lives for your glory. Lord, I pray that this weekend will be a tool that you use to build within us a most holy faith. That no matter awaits us back home, we still serve a God that can. Lord, even in the face of an impossible situation, my God still can. So build our faith. Lord, as we begin to picture who you are and what you can do, blow our minds. And Lord, most importantly, bring glory to yourself. Not to a church, not to a man, not to a family, to yourself. Lord, we're looking for miracles. Preparing us as you work in us. We'll give you praise. If you know this song, Bruce is going to sing it. Sing the chorus. Who can satisfy?
There is a fountain. Who is the King? Victorious warrior. And Lord of everything, my rock, my shelter, my very own, blessed Redeemer, who reigns upon the throne.
Nobody can satisfy quite like him. Amen. Amen. God bless you.